Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Look what the cat dragged in. Oh, that is Steve Dale. Steve, you walked from one studio to another all the way to come and talk to me. I'm so flattered.
The traffic was really bad on the way.
Is that why you were late?
I wasn't late.
How are you, Steve?
I am so good and so happy to talk with you. It's been a while since I've been in this seat talking with you.
I love when animals cross the law, you know, because there are so many ways that are regulated by the law that, you know, are punished by the law, legal law, you know, lawsuits about animals. But I want to get right to it. You, of course, are the host of the Steve Dale Pet World, and you've been all over on Oprah and Good Morning America doing all this great stuff. In fact, you have a Steve Dale Day, which I want to know how to get a Karen Conti Day. It's probably going to be on leap year some year, right? So I know that's my day. So, but anyway, you just wrote a book, and I have it here in the studio. It is so cool, beautifully illustrated, I might add, and beautifully written and done. And it's called Ask the Dog, and you just published it. It's beautiful and colorful. It's got your little logo on the top right. Tell me why you published this book.
So, dog bites are at a record high, a record number. And I thought I wanted to do something to change that. And I had something in mind. So there have been two initiatives in the history of the world regarding this. One is to better socialize our dogs. We didn't understand until about the 1950s or 60s what that exactly meant, what the critical period of socialization in dogs happens to be, and really how you socialize dogs. Now it's kind of taken for granted. We actually didn't do that back in the day. Puppy classes did not exist back in the 1950s, 60s. Dr. Ian Dunbar brought them into popularity in the 1970s. The other thing is you're walking down the street, and maybe you have a kid with you, maybe you don't. You see a dog you don't know. And the first thing you are taught from the time you're a kid, this goes back, the American Veterinary Medical Association has been promoting this forever. It goes back decades to ask
the owner, is your dog friendly? Can I pet your dog?
Yeah, and that's all good.
And I was also instructed to hold your hand out, let the dog sniff you. Don't go right in for that pet right away, right?
Right. But while part of that advice is wonderful, certainly ask, can I pet your dog? However, we forgot something. We forgot to ask the dog.
Ah, and thus the title.
Yeah. What motivated that is an experience with me. I'm just near our house. We've got our little dog out just sniffing. There's another dog just sniffing. And I'm about to walk away, and the woman says to me with the other dog, don't you want to pet my dog? And I look at her, the dog, and look at her, and I said, no, thank you. Because the dog was saying no, thank you. The dog was stretched in the opposite direction. Why? I don't know. I don't think it matters. The dog might have been hungry, wanting to go home, and home was that way. It might have been the dog doesn't love strangers. It could have been anything. It really doesn't matter. So there's a couple things about that. First of all, if you push dogs enough, it doesn't mean this dog would have bitten me, but that's how dog bites do happen. Dogs that really don't want to interact, and we do anyway. That's one thing. The other is more philosophical. Don't dogs have the right, and I do mean that word, legally you can tell me if that's the right word to use, but don't they have the right to just say no? And that motivated me to write this book, Ask the Dog. Now, I've written or contributed to, I don't know, 12, 15, 18, whatever the number of books happens to be, for veterinary professionals or for the public. This is the first kids book that I've ever done. And I thought, well, most dog bites do happen to children. So hence the idea of doing a children's book.
I mean, it's brilliant. And it's a good lesson. It's cute. And it's something that if you ingrain in a child when they're young, they're going to remember that for a long time. And I know I don't want to be too philosophical, like you said, but you know, you shouldn't touch people if they don't want to be touched. You shouldn't touch animals if they don't want to be touched. There are some people who like a hug and some people who don't like a hug. So, you know, you have to be able to read the room and and ask the room first.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we were kind of toying around with what these numbers are, and I just want to give our listeners,
sure.
I mean, my research, of course, you know, that extended to, you know, to AI this morning, was that there were 4.5 million, million dog bites, and that's just an estimate because we don't know how many are reported. So, and 850,000 approximately that require medical care. And you just told me there are fatalities of how many?
About 60 now. Now, there are, I don't know, 50 million dogs in America, something like that. Actually, I'm wrong about that. There are 70 million dogs plus in America. 70 million, just bad with numbers. 70 million plus dogs in America. So if you think about it, 60 fatalities, 70 million, 60 fatalities is 0.00001% or something like that.
Right.
But not for those people and not for those dogs, of course. So I'm not excusing it by any means. And that fatality number has never been so high. So what's going on out there? Now, we do have more dogs in America than ever before, but that number way overrepresents the increase in the number of dogs.
When we come back, I want to talk about that because I'm going to posit, is it that we just are so much more accepting of dogs in different places that they are in places that we normally didn't see dogs and that gives us more interaction? But I know you're going to have the right answer. We're here with Steve Dale. His new book is called Ask the Dog. Where can people get it?
Anywhere. Of course, Amazon is the place to get anything. In fact, I think people get me on Amazon. I don't know. But yes, Amazon.
Delivery is not free. I will tell you that.
Of me?
Of you.
Of the book, yes. Or through the publisher, which is Bellau, B-E-L-E-A-U Books, maybe?
This might be something that, you know, if you're a teacher out there or you're a parent and you're instrumental in getting different speakers and whatever, this would be a great topic of conversation for a chat and maybe, you know, kindergartners, first, second graders, maybe even older.
I'm doing some of those.
Yeah, I'll bet you are because this would be great. Okay, Steve Dale, you're here. We're talking about your book, Ask the Dog. We're talking about the proliferation, I said that word right, I hope, of dog bites all over. Why do you think we have more dog bites now than ever?
I don't know exactly. I can give you some reasons, but it's not an epidemic. People have written that, and I don't want people to think that that is the case. It's a problem, and I'll answer your question in a moment. But did you know more people die tripping down the stairs in the UK than, for example, dog bites?
Yes, I believe that.
You know, I mean, more people die from, what are they called? These big machines. I'll think of the name of it in a second. I'll think of the name of it. But from these odd, for sure, lightning.
Yeah.
Than dog bites. Bee stings than dog bites, you know? So, yes, 60 is too many. And there are too many dog bites. Okay, reasons for it? Lack of socialization, proper socialization. When we're talking significant dog bites, we are also talking about laws like the one Chicago once had, where a significant bite occurs and nothing is done. Yet that dog is clearly considered a dangerous dog. I love the idea of no-kill animal shelters. However, many of these shelters, to reach their numbers, and I'm about to say something controversial but true, to reach their numbers, to please their board members and to please the public, they have to have a certain release rate, well over 90%, right? They're not supposed to kill. And I get that. I'm all for that. However, to do that, dogs that are considered either quote-unquote dangerous dogs that they may get, typically they choose not to, or an aggressive dog, they farm out to a dog trainer who uses, for example, shock collars. The dog is brought back. Temporarily, that behavior is modified. But long term, when that dog is adopted into a family, that behavior returns because you never addressed the cause of that behavior. Typically, it's fear, if we're talking an aggressive dog.
Sure.
The pandemic had something to do with it as well. Dogs that simply weren't socialized because they couldn't have been. So you put all of those reasons and others together in a big soup pot. And that is the reason forklift trucks.
Ah.
More people die from forklift. It took a minute.
You
forklift
know what the
trucks.
Interesting thing that I saw when I was looking at stats of dog bites, over 8% of all dog bites that are recorded and reported occur on the job. So delivery people are really, you know, that's a good healthy percentage there.
And that's one reason. Thank you. That's one reason
why.
We have more delivery people than ever before, right?
I wonder if that's a part of the cause. Yeah.
Totally. I've written about that. Yep.
So let's talk about the law just very quickly about civil liability. A lot of people have a misguided idea that you have a first free dog bite. So your dog goes out and bites somebody. There's no liability because it was his first bite. Not so. It's strict liability is what we call it, which means that you are responsible for the harm caused by your dog bite. And that could be even just jumping on a kid or pushing the child down or an elderly person, scratching the person, biting the person, unless two things. One is the person is not in a place where he or she should be, so like trespassing on your property, and B, you provoked the dog. So you somehow did something to make the dog riled up, and that's always like a question of fact as to what that is.
Right, it's hard to prove.
So again, like someone comes into your yard, sticks the hand through the fence, starts waving it, and the dog bites, that might not, you might not be liable for that, but if it's just a regular dog bite, just a friendly encounter and the dog bites, you are responsible. And it could be quite a bit of money for disfigurement and medical treatment and emotional distress and all of those things.
And does your homeowner's insurance pay for that?
It does.
But
it
that's
does.
The problem. So it's good that it does, potentially. Right.
If I think certain breeds are excluded by certain carriers.
Yes. Which is a whole other discussion.
Thing.
And that is unfortunate because there should be no breed predisposition. And other carriers say, I don't care. You have a dog, whatever that dog is. Also, people misidentify their dogs.
Sure.
So the whole breed thing is a huge problem. If you don't care about dogs, if you don't even like dogs, I feel badly for you. But your insurance will go up too, right?
Yeah.
Because when something happens, for example, when hurricanes happen in Florida, our insurance goes up in Illinois. We don't have hurricanes, but it's a shared pool. So everyone's insurance. The privileges you were talking about, more dog friendly than ever before, this country is overall. This city is overall. Will that go away as insurance carriers say to a business, you once allowed dogs, but you can't anymore because there was a dog bite?
Yeah, it's, you know, insurance carriers, as much as they're in the business of insuring risks, they really don't like to do that.
Exactly.
And they do like to deny coverage whenever they possibly can. And it's unfortunate because, you know, you think you pay all this money for all the insurance that you have, whether it's business and home and auto and umbrella coverage and all the insurance that you have. And sometimes they just turn around and deny you. Or if they don't, then they raise your rates or cancel you altogether, which is always lovely. I did want to talk just briefly about what your obligations are if your dog bites somebody. And you know, a lot of people do the wrong thing, and it's good to know that you have to report the dog within 24 hours to the animal control in your area. You got to do that quickly. And you are to confine your dog for 10 days for rabies observation. And it is illegal to hide, sell, or euthanize your dog. So if you think, okay, I'm going to put the dog down because I don't want this to ever happen again, that's illegal, and you could be cited for that.
Without a veterinary recommendation to do so.
Well, right, until they can investigate,
right.
You know,
exactly.
The dog and make sure the dog doesn't have rabies or the like. So just put that as a little footnote when it comes to dogs. Let's talk about this ordinance, Steve, that was proposed, I believe it was December, and it was just the city of Chicago. It wasn't an Illinois ordinance.
Chicago.
But tell us a little bit about what you recall the terms being. It hasn't been passed yet.
Oh, no. In fact, I was sent the updated version, and I haven't opened that email yet. So I cannot completely answer, but the notion will be, right now, if you have an outdoor patio or cafe, if you're a restaurateur, if you are so inclined, if not, that's okay. But if you are so inclined, you can allow dogs on your patio. However, this goes further, and that you may be able to, depending on the restaurant. So for a coffee shop, for example, you may be able to allow dogs inside, and it may be very legal, if passed, for us to have that happen. And I'm in favor of that. Now, if the entrepreneur or the insurance carrier, as we're talking about, says no dogs, then it's no dogs. That's up to you as a small business person. However, or maybe it's a Starbucks, which is a national chain, and they have their own policy. But they can, if this passes through City Hall, they can then say, yeah, dogs are fine.
And, you know, there's whistles and bells. I won't say dog whistles and bells, but I guess I should. that, you know, that you can require proof of rabies shots if you, you know, that can be part of it. You can't let the dogs go where the food is being prepared. Sure. You have to have them on certain plastic or certain materials so they can't be absorbent materials, like probably carpeting would not be allowed. You know, the dogs would not be allowed on the carpeting, things like that. And again, all those get worked out in the details. And I suppose, you know, there are some restaurant owners that are going to say, great, because my coffee shop, everyone goes and walks their dog. They park the dog outside. Yep. The dog howls all the time. Instead, they're going to be able to come in and enjoy the coffee and get the coffee and drink more coffee.
Did you know it's absolutely against the law to tie out your dog outside?
Oh, I did not know that.
In Chicago. I wrote that, so I know that's the case.
Oh, so that's encouraging illegal behavior. And, you know, and the thought that
And people stealing dogs.
Yeah.
Or dogs just getting away. Dogs barking at other people. Speaking of dog bites.
Yes, I see that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Where you see a dog, you know, roped up and you kind of think to yourself, oh, look, the dog, I want to pet it. Then you're like, no, he's probably not very comfortable right now being roped up away from his owner, right?
Yep.
So they were saying that this is going to help out the restaurants, and I understand that, but I think that there are going to be just as many people, maybe not as many, but just close to as many people who say, listen, I don't want to be where an animal is. I mean, I know some people in my close orbit who say, I don't like sitting in a restaurant with a dog. I just don't. It's not, I love dogs. I love food. They don't mix. Sorry. You know, there's something unsanitary about it. There are people who are allergic to dogs or people who are afraid of dogs. The people who think it detracts from the environment. What do you think? Do you think that if this law goes into effect, do you see restaurant owners getting this license and allowing dogs to come in?
I do. So, at City Hall, when I testified years ago to some committee about allowing dogs on patios, and the health department testified before myself and said, oh, dogs are unsanitary, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know the specifics of what they said. I simply looked at City Council and I said, how many of you have a dog or a cat at home? And everyone, literally everyone, raised their hand. I said, how many of you are in the kitchen eating and the dog is right there in the kitchen with you? Maybe asking for food. Maybe you share the food. Maybe you don't. Everyone raised their hand. I said, aha, you are all still alive. I said, the problem is that birds don't wear diapers because they
yes.
are more of a problem for outdoor patios than dogs would be.
That is so true. Well, you made your point, counselor. You're going to get an honorary law degree from me over here.
That's an honor.
Okay, I got to promote this book, Ask the Dog, by Steve Dale, illustrated by Shelby Kohler. It's available on Amazon. It's about why you have to ask the dog for permission before you pet it. I would highly recommend buying it for your kids and for your school and have Steve come and talk to you. Steve, it was great to see you.